Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Well, good morning. Well, I'll just be redundant and say Happy Mother's Day again. But we're so grateful. Rick and I both still have both of our moms, and thankfully today we actually have Rick's parents here with us today in service. And some of you know, some of you might not know, that my parents actually pastor a church in the St. Peter's area. So that's where they're at today. But today's message, and I really kept debating it between, it was like, seemed like a toss-up, says, when you go into battle, who are you facing? And it seems like a really Mother's Day message, doesn't it? I could see people picturing going, well, I'm going after my spouse, I'm going after my kids, I'm going after my parents, but hopefully towards the end you'll understand a little bit more about with the title. But I really started thinking about when God started laying this on my heart, I was like, what is it really to really share with everyone? And what he was really sharing with me was about trust and specifically trusting in him. And I started thinking about, what does that look like in my life? What does it look like in my daily life as far as trusting in God? And one of the things I thought of immediately was kind of how I start my mornings. Between the time I actually wake up in the morning and before I get out of bed, most mornings, probably 6 out of 7, if not more often, mornings, when I'm just, still in bed, I will just lay there and think, I'll thank God for the fresh start, a new day. I'll just thank him for, I'll sometimes, take time to think about things that I'm grateful for and just run through some of those things. But the one thing I always usually end with is I thank God, thanking before I get up, saying, I thank you that you're going before me today. I thank you that you're going to be beside me today. And I thank you that you have my back today. Because I know before I ever get out of bed, I know there's going to be things unexpected in any given day that we're going to face. So I don't know about you, but before I get out of bed, I'm doing really good. It's after I get up that I seem to start to struggle. I'm totally good with giving it to him. Up until I've gotten out of bed, I am golden. But I started thinking then, just more recently, how I've had to trust God. And how many of you out here are truly not shoppers? Shopping is not your thing. Yeah, okay. See, I appreciate you. We are a disappointment to Pastor Barry and Gina because they love shopping. It's not my gift. It's not my thing. So we just had a ladies' conference back a couple weeks ago. And I know I shared with a couple of the ladies, I'm like praying, I'm going to go try to find a new blouse. And this is so for you that are not shoppers, you can totally appreciate that. Those who are shoppers think that's just a good time. But really what with the ladies' conference, the thing that I really had to lean on God for was, with the ladies' conference we had just had, I work in the church office as well here. So besides I was going to be speaking at the conference, I was also had a lot of the administrative part of that. And with everything that we had going on, especially with the speaking part of it, you just want to be, if you're going to have that opportunity, you just want to be your best, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every way. And as it got closer to that, I had had knee surgery 3 to 4 weeks before the conference and was praying that I would be really good by that point. So what was happening was, as we got closer to the conference, I was having to get more active, and as I was getting more active, I was actually starting to struggle with more knee pain, which, how many of you know that once you start struggling with pain, usually in one area, you start hurting in multiple other areas, and that's what was happening. Then, on top of that, then just a few days before the conference, I started getting a really dry, raspy throat. So if I would just talk any length of time at all, just a couple minutes, I would lose my voice, have to get something to drink, have to be sucking on something. And this was continuing on up till literally, the night before the conference, I was in so much discomfort physically with my knee and hip and other things. And literally the night before the conference, I was having to suck on a cough drop all night long before the conference just so I wouldn't lay and cough all night, and just a dry cough. So, and maybe some of you are better at this than me. So what I would do is, like, Wednesday, I gave it to God. And then Thursday, I took it back. And then Thursday, I gave it to God, and then Friday, I took it back because it wasn't getting better. So I was like, okay, well, God, you're not even getting this. This is like Saturday. This is Friday, and I'm struggling with all these things, and this is coming up Saturday. So, I reached out to, two or three Christian lady friends going, okay, please just be praying. I don't know what else to do at this point. I should be trusting God. So I get up Saturday morning, got up at like 5 o'clock. Now you have to remember up until Saturday morning, about 45 minutes to an hour of me up and about, my knee was fried and then everything else was starting to go. I got up at 5 o'clock that morning, went strong at the house, got here at 7:30 before the conference, went until the conference started at 8:30, continued on then. We had the conference. I was able to speak. I spoke for about 35 minutes at the conference, up on my feet. After the conference, we cleaned up. My voice did fine. I didn't have any problems at all with my voice that day. I was drinking some hot water with honey in it, but still the fact that I was able to speak for over 30-something minutes and not struggle at all. And it was so, you got to love when God shows his hand on this. So when I, literally as Gene and I was leaving the building at 1:45 that day, we were the last two to leave. As we were stepping out of the building, I literally my knee kind of gave. And Gina said, oh, that's right, your knee. How did it do today? And I said, Gina, it has felt awesome. It's been absolutely fine until this very moment. So I get out, and so then I drive home, and I get home, and Rick's like, oh, how was the conference? How'd everything go? And I'm starting to talk to him, and as soon as I open my mouth to try to talk to him, air hit my throat, and I couldn't talk, and I had to go get something to drink. And immediately, I knew. I thought, oh my gosh, God totally, I had handed it to him many times throughout the week, and had others praying, but I still truly was struggling with trusting him that he would be there for me in that moment, even to the point that I had brought ibuprofen that morning of the conference, and when I went to lock up that day, realized I'd forgot to take it that morning. So just very cool to see how God will come through if we trust him. But sometimes we just find ourselves being hit over and over and over. And back a few years ago, we had went through one of the times in our family that we went through this. Rick had been at his job for about 14 years, the job he had gotten shortly out of high school. And after he had been at that job for 14 years, he had always kind of wanted to go into law enforcement. It was something he had desire back from even when he was in high school. Well, he got the opportunity to go through to a police academy, a full-time police academy. But to do this, what he was going to have to do was going to have to quit his job of 14 years that he was in management of, and he was going to go for 6 months, be full-time in a police academy. And what that was going to take was him being gone about 12 hours a day and having 2 to 3 hours worth of homework or prep that he had to do for the next day. So we kind of made a pact for that period of time, and that period of time was our kids were 9, 7, and 3. And we kind of made a pact that he would do everything it took to make him and to get him through this academy for the 6 months, and I would handle everything else. And so during that time, we had, many of you know, our oldest son was born blind. So during this time, this was the time where he was in school starting to, he had already been working on Braille. He was starting to learn cane training, some things like that. Well, also during, and this was, I was at the time also selling real estate. So real estate is 100% commission. So Rick, for this going through the police academy, when he stepped into, he took a cut in pay to do that. And then my job's 100% commission. And I had been working on several deals that were supposed to close, about 6 deals that were going to close in the fall. Well, in about a 6 to 8 week period of time, our son Stephen, who was 9 at the time, all of a sudden started having some breathing problems. And it turned out he had developed asthma. So we went through everything, with the doctors and through that. Well, during that same period of time, Sean all of a sudden started getting sick. He would get up in the morning, be sick all day, not be able to keep anything down. And then that evening, he would feel fine. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, it would happen again. He would get sick, not be able to keep anything down, and then be fine. And we're like, what is going on? So eventually, after it happened about the third time, we went to the pediatrician, and by process of elimination, they determined he was starting to suffer from migraines. Again, not something that really goes away. It's just something you have to kind of figure out how to deal with. Then during the same time, Seth was 3. Some of you have heard some of the stories with Seth that he went through with terrible 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6s. So he was, at this point, we were just really starting to deal with a lot of his sensory issues, a lot of his behavioral issues, and trying to work through. We really didn't know still what was going on, everything with him at this point. But what we started realizing is, at this point, is also that he possibly had a hearing loss. So after some testing, preliminary testing, they sent us downtown to do the final testing. I remember sitting there in the booth with him that day. What they do with their little guys, they have, as they had me as a mom, I went in a booth and I sat with him on my lap to do this testing. And as I sat there and I watched him slowly fail the testing, and it was being confirmed to us that our fear at this point, that he did have a hearing loss. At the point that we found this out, we didn't know if it was correctable or not. They didn't know what was causing it, so they didn't know if it could be corrected. Of course, that was our hope and prayer, and they were trying to give us some encouragement that it could possibly be corrected, but we didn't know at that point. During that same 2 months period of time, every single real estate deal I had going on slowly fell apart. So on top of being hit with all the financial additional things that we were being hit with all the different doctor's appointments and specialists and everything that we were having to go through at the same time, we were dealing with it financially. And I have some people that's going to help me do something here today, if they'll come on up. But I remember I had a meeting that night with my broker, the night that I'd actually found out about Seth. And I was in, and he was just asking me how I was doing and what was going on. And he knew I'd had several of these deals that had fell apart. And I said, well, Rick's going through the police academy right now, and that's been kind of stressful. And then, I told him about our older son. I reminded him about him, that he was blind, and that, now we're dealing with him, and he's just gotten asthma, and that we're dealing with the halers. And then I started talking about Sean and how he was, having the migraines and what was going on with that. And then all of a sudden I started to talk about Seth, and I just busted out crying. And I was like, I am so sorry. This broker wasn't even somebody I was that close to. But it was just that moment where I think I had finally realized, and, I know dads do this too, but I think especially moms, sometimes we just deal with things and we deal with things and we deal with things as they come up. And it was that moment when I was talking to him that it finally dawned on me everything. And where I thought I was, with each thing, turning it over to God, what I realized was that it had just became, we have to sometimes get to that point when we really realize that we haven't been truly turning everything over to God. These folks, you'll understand their role here. Come on in. When I started talking about trusting God, one of the things I started thinking about is all the distractions that we have. And those distractions come in so many different ways. those distractions of, and they can be what we were dealing with as far as, with our kids, they could be dealing with health problems. But they can also be good things that we allow to be distractions for us. They can be our phone. They can be the TV, our iPad. They can be so many different things that we have going on that we allow to be distractions. Even this morning, on my way to church here this morning, and, my mind's talking, about speaking and wondering what the devil was going to do to me. I got a couple of phone calls this morning of just things that, people at church that all of a sudden roles that they couldn't be here for. And so I'm, all of a sudden it's those distractions of now it becomes about, trying to reach out to other people to say, hey, can you come in and do this? Hey, can you take care of this? And that's what the devil really wants, is you to be totally distracted by all these other things that are going on. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal our time. He wants to steal our relationships. And in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And when you notice that when we're totally dealing with the distractions, where's my focus? Where else could my focus be? But where is my focus at? And notice who my back is to. Is this representative of God? And my focus is, and we deal with this every day, from the time we get up. Like I said, I'm doing good while I'm still in bed. But once I'm up, there is distractions hitting us from the time we get up out of bed. And It says in here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, the battle is not, does not belong to, the battle is not yours, but belongs to the Lord. And it says, the Lord saying, come to me, this is in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I, when I started really looking at this is for what Jesus is, what we deal with every day and with the distractions we deal with, but especially when we're being hit over and over and over, sometimes in just that short period of time. What we think we can do is we think we can take on the devil, and we think, you know, there was a song that they used to sing years ago that I went to the enemy's camp and took back what was stole from me, and it's a great song. It's kind of a fun song, you know, you get kind of clapping your hands, and it's an enjoyable song. But what I realized with that song is I'd heard pastors say that before, and when I was studying this, it came back to me that I've heard pastors say that, that we're not the ones that's supposed to be heading to the enemy's camp. That in Matthew, it's chapter 26, but in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus was talking to it was Peter. Jesus had just been arrested, and Peter was there, and he was going to defend Jesus. He was going to defend his friend, and he took out a sword and cut off a man's ear. And I remember, you know, in that part that Jesus said to him, he said, you know what? Hey, dude, Peter, guess what? My dad, he could send 12 legions of angels. And with those 12 legions, and I looked up what 12 legions of angels was, and the 12 legions of angels is 72, is 72,000. So, with the 72,000 angels that Jesus told, he let Peter know, I could call on my dad and he could send them. And what God is wanting us to know is he's, Janice Bean has all of her clients, has a plaque in her office, and in her plaque, it's Exodus 14, 14, and it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And that's what God's wanting us to do, is he's wanting us to come into his presence and just be still. And when we do that, Psalms 3:3 talks about that he's a lifter of our head. And that we're not supposed to be, this is where we're supposed to be camped out at. We're not supposed to be overdoing the battle that the angels are obviously doing. But that we're supposed to be camped out in God's presence. And and I'll let these guys go down. I hope you can get the thank you. Give them a hand for if you can get past all the fun of that. I had seen that done years ago where, and it was at a Joyce Meyer's conference where she was just showing that of how much we get, you know, what we deal with distraction. And for me, I've been able to look back at that several times and say, instead of constantly being the one to battle and be fighting those distractions, that, you know, when we do that, that we can't be doing that and worshiping God at the same time. We have two choices there. We get to either be the one to go to battle over here, or we get to be over in God's presence. And I've had so many people here more recently asking, you know, even for our church family here. We know Pastor Barry's on a sabbatical right now. We know the church has, you know, had some, you know, financial strains. And people have been asking, you know, what can we do? What can we do to make a difference? And I would say, first off, for each one of us, if we can spend time in God's presence, be in God's presence, be in God's word. You know, I know and I understand the busyness of especially young families. When I was sharing that earlier about when we were, our family was being hit with one thing after another, it's hard to take, you don't have an hour or two to just go sit and, you know, meditate and read your Bible and have that downtime. But we do have opportunities to get in God's word. And even if that's far, you know, when our kids was little, we had little, the kids songs, like the worship songs that we would play in our car when we were out and about. You know, if you don't have kids and you have the ability, I used to keep, you know, CDs at the time. I think it was cassette players that we had in there. But, you know, we would keep those on hand to where once the kids weren't in the car, you know, I'd pop in, you know, a speaker or somebody that I could listen to. We can get those windows of time to be able to, if it's important to us. And to also be guarding against what we do put in our mind, what we are listening to, what we are watching, movies we're seeing, things we're watching on TV, the people that we're hanging out with on a regular basis, so that we can guard ourselves for that. But So when people's been asking about, you know, what can we do? You know, that's whether you're making a difference here at our church family, whether you want to make a difference in your own family, whether you want to make a difference in your community. It's getting in God's presence, getting in His Word, and then asking Him, what is it that I need to do? And if you look at Scripture, it will, you know, it talks about if you're a giver, if you've been blessed financially, give financially. If you've been blessed with, you know, a lot of times people, when we think about, when we hear about tithing, we think, oh, what tithing means is you have to give money. And it is. I mean, that's our responsibility. But I mean, if we make $10, you tithe on $10. And if you make $100,000, you tithe on $100,000. But when it talks about, tithing in the Bible, what it mentions is it talks about time, talent, and money. And a lot of times we forget about that time and talent. And so if there's something that you have gifts or abilities to do that maybe others in the church might not have those gifts or abilities to do, use that. Let the elders know. Let us in the office know. Let people know that you have that ability. So I just want to encourage you today, though, if you're struggling in any area, if there's anything that you're struggling with, if you're dealing with, if there's those distractions, if you can at all, just to get that downtime, and just to remember that if we go into battle, that our battle isn't against, truly, with Satan, that where we need to be is on our knees before God to fight that battle. And I just wanted to end here with a scripture in Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. It said, "Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And I just wanted to close here with this last statement, is that it's just that we do our best, and then we have to trust God to do the rest. So thank you.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.